most productive press conference of the year.
Best questions by far.
Absolutely.
So who are you taking?
Yes.
So, John, is your draft board set at this point? And if so, how many guys are on there, roughly?
It is pretty much set. We always massage it, but we finished last Thursday, so we're still massaging. So there's plenty of players up there.
You've shown a willingness to move up the last 2 years. Is it different when you're at 20 when you talk about moving up given the acquisition price, or is that still something that, given your ammunition, how many picks you have, you can at least kind of think in those terms?
Well, I mean, I think there's no question from where we were to where we are now. It's and going up higher where we want, it always gets more expensive the higher you want to go. So just depending on where you're starting, obviously this year we're starting a little bit lower than or higher, however you want to put it, higher than we're used to, you know, being put. So, but again, you go back and you listen to all the different options and, you know, going back, going up and going back.
Is Joe Mixon on your board?
I'm not going to tell you he's on our board.
Since you've gone through the draft prep process, looking back, what are the strongest positions now that you've had a couple months to work with?
Well, I mean, defensively, there's a lot of corners, a lot of safeties, and obviously the line, both lines are a little bit weaker than they have been in the past, but so a lot of running backs, tight ends, obviously, a very good year for tight ends. And then, you know, the last couple of years with the way college football is going, wide receiver is always deep, so there's a lot of wide outs.
John, now that you've met with Joe Mixon, any concerns about what happened off the field with him?
We're still evaluating that. Yeah, so I mean, obviously that's an issue, and it's something that we're continuing to look at and get as much background as we can on Joe to see where he may fall for us.
But being face to face with him, did that ease any concerns you might have?
Well, we had a good meeting with him. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time with him, but had a good good meeting with him. We went through the whole process and what had happened, and I'm sure he'd been through it several times. But for us to be able to hear it from him and what happened and went through all that.
And there's more and more top prospects coming out of college that are playing special teams, whether it's a gunner or returning. Is there a lot of added value now with those guys, now that colleges seem to be more willing to play their stars and their starters on special teams?
Well, I mean, I think that's part of the problem. You know, when you look at every player, you know, special teams is obviously one that, can they contribute on the special teams? How much experience do they have doing it? And if they haven't participated there, what do we think their abilities are to be able to come in and help us on the special teams? And so special teams is always, a big thought process when we're evaluating players.
John, you mentioned the state of college football and how that's helped the wide receivers. Do you think at the same time that has hurt the offensive linemen coming out?
I think so. I mean, I think technique of what they do offensively is changed over time. So therefore, it may be a cause of why they're a little bit thinner this year than it has been in the past, because there's a lot of, obviously throwing the ball and the ball comes out quick. And so, especially with different teams, the Alabamas and those type teams or SEC teams still run the football. And so you get a good evaluation of those people. But, when you're talking about teams and how much they throw it, it definitely affects the offensive lineman.
John, do you believe there's a day one starter at left tackle in the draft?
Yeah, there could possibly be one. Depends. He's going to come in. If that's where we go, he's going to come in and compete for a job. So, just like all these rookies that will come in, they will all compete for a job. So,
why did you choose to bring in Christian for about 30 visits?
Because he was close, and it was free, and we wanted to meet with him. He's a great kid. And we like Christian a lot, so we wanted to bring him in. And, it was one of those that he was in the area, and so we wanted to take advantage of that to get to see him again, and he's a great kid.
Any concern that he might be somewhat of a circus here in Denver because of his local ties? If you took him, would that be a concern for you?
No. The concern is if he can play football. That's our concern. So, and that he can do. So there's not a concern, though. No.
You mentioned a couple times thinner class, offensive line, obvious need for you guys. How does that, if at all, change your philosophy of what you're looking for in this draft?
Well, I guess my philosophy has always been when we go into the draft, we want to go in picking the best football players free agent wise. We've done a, you know, we my belief is that we fix needs in free agency with Donald, you know, Donald Leary and Menelik and the offensive line, the guys we signed there, and defensive line wise, what we did that, you know, we're still going to try to draft the best football players that are going to help us on our football team and not get in a situation where we reach for one, you know, and so, you know. A lot of people don't think we have a left tackle on our team. Tyus Sambryo played left tackle for us 2 years ago, was playing very well, and hasn't been able to stay healthy. So that's always an option for us. And so that's why, you know, the key thing about the draft is we go in and try to select players that can make our football team and help us be a better football team.
When you started the offseason process, did you hope to bring on another tackle, you know, so you could enter the draft with that guy on the roster?
We looked at all the options, you know, and so we felt we the direction we went was the best option for us at that time. And I think that, you know, left tackles are not easy to find. And so, again, we go back. We thought Ty is a guy that compete there. Stevenson played a little left. Melnick's played a little left. So, you know, we're not without there. So it may not be ideal, but, you know, you never know. You might be able to, you know, with the way Ty was playing a couple of years ago, we feel like, you know, he was going to be a very legitimate left tackle until he got hurt.
John, when a guy has either a failed drug test or a diluted drug test at the combine, what does that do for you guys in your evaluation of a prospect?
Well, we try to dig in to find out exactly what it is and if there's, you know, more of a history there, you know, find out if it's, you know, I'm not the authority or the on drug testing and all that stuff, so I go to Greek, and Greek's and the doctors, you know, let us know if there's an issue there. And usually if it shows up there, it's showing up somewhere else.
If a draft is deeper, does it make you more reluctant to look to trade up and lose a pick later in the draft when you know you have a lot of picks and you feel a draft is deep? And does it make you change your thinking at all?
Well, I mean, that's always thought, you know, that's always part of the process. And so, and plus, you know, if you trade away, you trade, you know, picks this year for next year, you don't know what you're getting into next year. So those are always the game that you play in the draft that – you never really know. And so it's not always easy to go back. You know, everyone says, well, just move back. If your guy's not there, go ahead and move back. Well, you got to find somebody that wants to move up, right? So, I mean, that's why it's always – sounds like it's real easy, but until we get going and you know, things start flying around, it's you never know if you can go up, what price it costs you to go up, or if you go back that, you know, if there's a trade partner to go back. And so that's why – you know, there's going to be a lot of smoke this week until, you know, until we really get to Thursday and get into it. You don't really know who is serious and who's not.
You love this process. Kind of this is your season, per se, now as a GM. Is this draft bigger for you than perhaps past drafts, given the kind of 9-7, wanting to get back to where you were? Does it feel different?
No, they've all been important. Believe it, yeah, I mean, they're all important, and this one's just as important. I think that, you know, 9-7 is a disappointing year for us, especially coming off the Super Bowl. But, you know, we feel like we've got a lot of things in place that can, you know, can help us be a very good football team. The division's got a lot tougher, and there's a lot of things that have gone on there. So, you know, that's part of the process and realizing that we got to get better, and that's what this – for us on the personnel side, this is our time of year, and this is why we got to be good.
What's your team's biggest need right now? What are you guys lacking the most?
We need a new GM. But other than that, we're pretty good.
Is left tackle?
Just ask Mark.
Has that changed how you guys grade them and how you
know,
decide which ones you target?
As far as tackles?
Yeah.
You know, I think the one thing that we talk about all the time is everyone talks about a left tackle and talks about a right tackle, left tackle. Really, I think that's old term kind of talk, right? You need two good tackles, right? Because they can move their pass rushes around. And if you're weak on the right side, they'll put them on the right side or left side or whatever. So we want to have two good tackles, you know. And so some guys are more built for left tackle than right tackle, but I think that they're still the same thing. Whether it's a blindside or not, you know what? You got to have two good tackles, and that's what we look for. Now, we got to do a better job of helping protect them too, you know. And I think that you know, McCoy, Mike, and the staff, and you know, looking at all those different options protection wise, where we can help those guys too, because you know, no matter how good of a tackle you are, there's too many great pass rushers out there that you're going to always get beat. because there's a lot of great pass rushers out there. So we got to do the best job we can find a guy that fits that spot, and then also do the best job of, you know, taking care of him over there too.
John, this is the best tight end class in NFL history. It may be the 1983 of tight ends. Is there almost a temptation to double up at the position like y'all did in 2011 and take two of them because the class is so
strong? Well, I mean, we classify a tight end, and you know this. See, so the fact is you got a Y and you got an F, right? It's a deep F class, right? So, I mean, guys that are good route runners and can move it, you know, not necessarily the strength of being an inline tight end. There's a couple good inline tight ends, but for the most part, they're Fs, right? So they're more scheme fits. And so that's why we say it's a deep class, you know, and so, but what happens is it allows us to, you know, if that's where it falls to us and we can get, you know, we can, you know, third, fourth, fifth round, you know, there may be a real good tight end there that we can go ahead and get. But again, it goes down to a scheme fit. So when we talk about tight end, we got to classify between the Y and the F. Everybody's talking about moving up and down right now. So, you know, it's that time of the, you know, and next week or early this or the next couple of days, it'll be continue to go, but find out who wants to do what. But then until we get to draft day, you never know really how serious anybody is.
John, there are 32 first-round selections in every draft, but that doesn't necessarily mean there are 32 first-round talents. How many first-round talents would you say are in this year's draft?
Well, I think – you know, it's always hard to put a number to, you know, and again, I think if I give you a number there, it tells you what's on our draft board, and so I don't want to go there. But I think there's plenty of players in the first round that will get a good football player.
John, having done this for a number of years, are you more comfortable than you've ever been, or is there any way to really prepare yourself for the kind of chaos that happens, especially in the first round?
No, I think experience helps a lot, and I think especially with trying to figure out where players might go. But then also moving around, the expectations of being able to move around if you want to move around. And so, I feel much better this year than I did my first two, 3 years. And so hopefully get better.
John, when there's a later round quarterback who has success, whether it's Russell Wilson a few years ago, Dak Prescott last year, what does that do to a scouting process later? Do you have to go back and look, what did we maybe miss? And then how does that maybe shift what you
do? I think it all comes down to fit. If you find a guy later in the draft, it comes down to fit. And it's got to fit into the offense where he goes. Russell fit into Seattle perfectly. And what they've done and him and his athletic ability was a good fit. Dak was a good fit in Dallas. You know, you got that offensive line. You got a great running game. That's going to help take care of a young quarterback. And so the pressure wasn't on him. It's got, you know, you've got people around him that are going to make him a better player. And so, you know, you're not going to find – I don't believe you can find guys late in the ground, you know, late in the draft that are going to help a team in the top 10 picks. It comes down to if they're drafted later, what team they're drafted to, and the people they have around them. And that's what determines the success.
With this being a year-round process, how much does it change things when you bring in a new staff with different philosophies and stuff halfway through that?
Well, I mean, defensively, it's the same. You know, so that's the good thing. You know, and it's the same, you know, Vance is going to have the same, you know, have different wrinkles, but with Joe as the coordinator, I mean, it's pretty much the same defense. And so that allows us to stay the same on the defensive side. Offensively, you know, having had Mike here 4 years ago, knowing what he wants, what he's going to do offensively, I think we're familiar with that. So, you know, and we'll try to do the best we can to help them and what they like.
Time for a few more for John.
John Champ's going into the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame this week. In your eyes, what has he done to deserve that honor?
Nothing. No. No. I'll just say this. You know what? It's the first of many for Champ in that, you know, he had a tremendous career you know, was one of the top, you know, corners to ever play the game. And so, and then when he came, you know, to Denver from Washington, what he did, what he's, you know, did in the community here, he'll, you know, it's just a start for Champ. And I think that, you know, it couldn't happen to a better guy.
John, what's it like in the room when players start falling? Like Shane probably fell, Bradley probably fell due to things right before the draft. What's that like in the room when those things start happening?
Well, I mean, it starts opening discussions, and they're falling for a reason. So usually if they fall, you got to realize, okay, we can, you know, if he falls to us, is it, number one, is it somebody we want? And number two, why is he falling? And if it's something that, you know, we can, you know, put up with, then – you know, we'll discuss that. But, you know, there's always, that always happens to some people, some players, you know, and so, you know, last year with Tunsil, a little more unexpected, but a lot of times, you know, going in, who might fall.
John, given the way you won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, does that change the way you look at the draft board?
I don't want to go backwards on defense, and I've said that from very get-go. We're not going to go back on defense. And so it's important for us to continue to stay good on defense and help the defense. And you know, if we got a great defensive player, we'll go that direction. But, you know, what we want to do is stay as good and get better defensively and continue to get better on the offensive side. And if we do that, that makes us a better team.
In terms of seeing through the noise of some incidents with guys like Bradley and Shane, how important is the role of the scouts in terms of getting the core of their character and finding out, okay, this is a lot of noise, this isn't really who this
is? Well, I mean, I think there's two things to that. I think number one is to have the background, and our scouts do a tremendous job, and I think, you know, their job of not only evaluating the players, but also the background research that they do on each player. And so we have that. And then the most important thing after that is, do we put them in a situation when they get here that we can help them and get them, you know, these are young guys, and so, you know, we got to help them down the walk of life. And Ray Jackson, who is our player development guy, does a tremendous job. And so do we know, can we get them in the – what have they done, and number one? And number two is, can Ray get them going and help them out? We get them in a situation where we support them and get them going down the right path that, we feel like, we can put those mistakes in the past and hope them going – getting going the right direction.
Last one, Nikki.
Did the loss of Adam Peters change anything with your evaluation process? And what is your plans to fill that role?
Well, I mean, Adam did a great job for us. You know, and I'm happy for Adam that, he got the opportunity with John to go to San Francisco. He's worked hard for that opportunity. And so, I'm happy for him. He did a tremendous job for us. What we've done is spread some of the responsibility that Adam had with where we are now. And then once we get through the draft and get into May, we'll make some changes there. That's usually when we make our personnel changes is in May.
Okay, thank you, John.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.